Welcome to church this morning. My name is Kirsten, for those of you who don't know me yet. And I am one of the pastors here at Bethel. And 2 years ago when I was hired, part of my job description was to oversee our welcome ministry. So when you show up on a Sunday morning, everybody who greets you, helps you with information at the welcome desk, makes your coffee, helps you up the elevator, are all people who are part of the welcome team. And I was really excited to be able to oversee this ministry because I know the importance of being a church that values hospitality. When somebody walks into our building for the first time, we want to make sure that they feel welcomed, that they feel at home. We want to show hospitality to people. It's something that is talked about all the time throughout the Bible. So when I started my role here, I took some time to do some reading and some research into what things have helped and hindered churches when it came to hospitality. What kind of things would make people feel the most comfortable when they walked through our doors? Figure out what kind of things would make people go, I am never coming back here, and figure out a way to stay away from those things. And it's been a really interesting journey as I've done the reading and research to see how much of a role hospitality plays in community, and actually how different our Western view of hospitality is from biblical hospitality. Last week, Pastor Adrian introduced a new series that we're going to be working through over the next little while called Created for Community. This is one of the series that we're going to do where we take a look at the practices of Jesus. When Jesus came, he introduced a new way of living, a way of living that was different from the way people had been living before. And this series is here to help us figure out what it looks like for us to follow the way of Jesus when it comes to the practice of community. Today, we are specifically talking about hospitality in the context of community. Now, when you think about hospitality, what do you think of? What I think of is going to someone's home for food, staying over at somebody's house and they offer you some food. I remember being a kid and having friends over and my mom would pull me aside and go, did you offer them something to drink? Gotta be a good host. And it's something that is talked about throughout the Bible. And when we look at hospitality in the Bible, we see a much different picture than what we are used to in our Western culture. Throughout the entire Bible, we see themes of hospitality. In the Old Testament, these stories of hospitality are significant in foreshadowing what Jesus was going to come and do in the New Testament. In Genesis, Abraham welcomed three travelers into his tent. They had just come from the desert, and they were making a journey through to another town. Now, in the wilderness, there were no inns or any place to stay, really, except for with the odd stranger that was out there. So Abraham went to meet them, and he offered them a place to stay so that they could rest before they continued on. And Abraham extended the hospitality to these people, not knowing who they were. And it ended up being that they were actually angels. And one of them was the angel who told them that Sarah would have a son. In Hebrews 13, verse 2, it says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. This verse is referring back to that story of Abraham. There's a story of Rahab and the spies. The spies had been sent into Jericho by Joshua to kind of scope out what was happening there before they came in and took over Jericho. And when they got to town, a prostitute named Rahab offered to provide them a safe place to hide, because if they had been found, they would have been killed. And God blessed her and kept her and her family safe because she did that. throughout the Old Testament, God is constantly reminding the Israelites the importance of hospitality. He wrote it into the laws that were given to them. They were to extend hospitality to those around them because it had been given to them in Egypt. They had received food and places to stay, even though they were not originally from there. Leviticus 19:33-34 says, "When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." This is something that was very contrary to the way people would live in the ancient Near East. People who were foreigners were considered dangerous. They were considered unclean at that time. So for God to command his people, Israel, to be hospitable to the foreigner was a way to show God's love for all people. It was foreshadowing how Jesus would come and bring us back to him. We were the strangers. We were the foreigners. When Adam and Eve sinned against God in Genesis, it separated us from God because we were now sinful people. We were the outcast. We were separated. We were dangerous, unclean. We were the ones who turned away from God. We were strangers to him. But God, in his compassionate love for us, sent Jesus to welcome us back to him by dying on the cross and forgiving us. Even before his death on the cross, Jesus was big on hospitality. Throughout the Gospels, we see countless moments of hospitality. But I want us to focus in on one specific story in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. It says this, "He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.' So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, 'He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner.' And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.'" Now, you might be thinking, what does this story really have to do with Jesus practicing hospitality? And it'll all make sense in a second, I hope. But Tim Keller, who is a pastor and an author in New York City, has a really great quote in one of his messages about biblical hospitality. He mentions that it's not at all what we might think it is here in the West. This is what he says. "In the Bible, hospitality is proactively seeking to welcome the marginalized. Hospitality is providing a warm home for the lonely." How good is that? Now, with this definition as our lens, I want us to take another look at the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. It says, "He," Jesus, "entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.' So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they," the people, "saw it, they all grumbled, 'He has gone to be the guest of a man who's a sinner.'" And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Here we have Zacchaeus. He's a tax collector, and because of that, he is extremely hated by everyone. And I mean, everyone hated him. As a tax collector, he had the power to charge people more in taxes than what was actually owed to the government. So he's hated. Everybody hates Zacchaeus. So he would charge people more money than was actually owed to keep the money for himself. He was corrupt. He was outcasted because of his profession, and he was considered to be on the lowest rung of humanity. People were so appalled that Jesus would even consider talking to someone like him. But isn't that just like Jesus? Jesus shows up and sees Zacchaeus. He invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house. He knows exactly who Zacchaeus is. He knows exactly what he's done to people, how the people feel about Zacchaeus. But Jesus is seeking to welcome the marginalized. He knows that Zacchaeus is a sinner, that he's hated, that nobody would ever want to be associated with him. But he still invites himself to Zacchaeus' house. They no doubt shared a meal together, which would have also been a really big scandal. The table and sharing of food was sacred in their culture. It wasn't something that you just shared with strangers, let alone a stranger known as the worst of the worst. Joachim Jeremias, a German Lutheran theologian, says this about the table and sharing of food. "In the East, even today, to invite a person to a meal was an offer of peace, trust, brotherhood, and forgiveness. Sharing a table meant sharing life. In Judaism, in particular, table fellowship meant fellowship before God. For the eating of a piece of broken bread by everyone who shares in a meal brings out the fact that they all have a share in the blessing which the master of the house had spoken over the unbroken bread. The inclusion of sinners in the community of salvation achieved in the table fellowship is the most meaningful expression of the message of the redeeming love of God." The people who saw Jesus with Zacchaeus were talking. They were gossiping. This was unheard of. People would only share a meal or open up their home to people that they knew. People who looked the same as them. People who believed the same things as them. People who were exactly like them. But Jesus is making space. He's making a statement to show that because he has come, there is room for everyone at the table. The Greek word for hospitality that is used in the New Testament is directly translated to love of strangers. How incredible is that? Jesus practiced hospitality wherever he went. The Gospels are filled with moments of Jesus loving the stranger. He spent time in people's homes. He shared meals. He traveled with them. He taught them. He fed them. We are called to follow the way of Jesus, to come under his direction and example and love as best that we can. He was hospitable to the stranger. He showed love to the sinner and to the outcast, to those who were different from him. When you look at your own life, what does this look like? What would it look like for you to follow the way of Jesus and show hospitality, to practice love of strangers? The story of Jesus and Zacchaeus ends with Jesus saying, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus came and proactively sought to welcome the marginalized, to make space at the table for somebody new, for somebody different than him. We can't simply just sit back and wait for people to come to us. God didn't just wait for people to come to him. He sent Jesus. He humbled himself and came to earth, born as a human being to show us love, to bring us back to him. We were the marginalized, and Jesus came to welcome us in. When I was in college, I was in a church planting class as part of my program, and we had some guest lecturers come in. It was a couple, and they were telling us about the time that they planted a church in Victoria. And they explained how so many people had told them that it wasn't going to work. Victoria was the hardest place to plant a church. They told them about all the people who tried and had failed before them. But they felt called to go. Now, the culture in Victoria is very New Agey. There's a lot of witchcraft that is practiced there. So this wasn't going to be an easy situation. But they felt called to go. So they were going to go and they were gonna try. And you wanna know how they did it? On the night that the show Survivor was airing, they opened their front door. They put a sign in their front yard that said, "Come on in and watch Survivor with us." And after a few weeks, they had a neighbor stop them and ask them about it, asked if they could join. And after weeks, they had people showing up every week, new people. People would come back and bring friends. People would start bringing food. Eventually, the season of the show ended, but they didn't stop meeting. They had meals together. They started to introduce worship and the sharing of testimonies. Their house ended up so full that they needed to have a bigger space to meet. They had random people just show up. People from all different walks of life, from different religions, different backgrounds. They were showing biblical hospitality. They were proactively seeking to welcome the marginalized. Not the ones who already believed in Jesus. Not the ones who looked like them or thought like them, not the people who were necessarily in the same season of life as them. They were welcoming the marginalized, the ones nobody wanted to be around, the ones who were hurting and alone and had no community around them. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I think that sometimes we're not super good at this, and myself included. We're comfortable with our friends. We're comfortable with our people. And don't get me wrong, it's important to have your people in order to have community and grow in our faith. But we are called to participate in the Great Commission, to go and make disciples, to seek out the marginalized. There's an entire community that we are a part of outside of these walls called Penticton. Called Summerland, called OK Falls, called Oliver. There's a community of people that we belong to, and how can we possibly share with them the good news of Jesus if we will only extend an invitation to those we already know? Those who look like us, believe the same thing as us. Those who aren't scary to us. Don't make us nervous. We are called to follow the way of Jesus, and he would seek out the lost and invite them in. He would welcome the ones who look different than him, the ones who believe differently than him. Now, I know you're probably thinking, this is great in theory, but how do I actually do this? And I get it, it can be daunting. But here are some really practical, really easy ways to start showing hospitality in our community. Number one, volunteer. Grab your life group, grab some friends, and go serve at a local charity. At a soup kitchen, or an organization like Keep the Cold off Penticton. The relationships that can come out of meeting people in these situations can be some of the best and most life-giving. When I was in high school, my youth group would do this thing every single December where we would gather donations of blankets. We would go to downtown Victoria. My youth pastor would buy a bunch of McDonald's cheeseburgers and like a bunch. And we would start to hand out these blankets and these burgers to the people living on the streets. And we did this every single year, and it got to a point where we would hand somebody a burger and a blanket, and they would go, "Hey, you were here last year, weren't you?" And so we were able to sit and talk for a while, not pushing any agenda, not talking about Jesus, but making sure they felt heard and seen and loved. Volunteer at your kids' school for things. Get to know the other parents, the teachers. Volunteer in our kids' ministry. I'm gonna let you in on a secret. The majority of people who choose to check out our church for the first time are coming because there is something for their kids. What an incredible way to know people in our community who are looking for something for their children. Volunteering is an incredible way for us to be out in the community, seeking to welcome those who are lost. Number two, talk to your neighbor. I know, it's crazy. But if you were to take an extra 5 minutes after work to actually talk to your neighbor, more than just a, "Hey, how are you? Good, awesome," and then leave. Do you know what they do for a living? Do you know how many kids they have? Do you know if they lived in Penticton their whole life or if they moved from somewhere else? You're a part of a community called your neighborhood. You are literally living with your neighbors. Yes, you have different homes, but you can hear each other in your backyards. You see them coming and going. They see you coming and going. We really love our neighbors, and if you've had any type of longer conversation with me, I have probably talked about them. They're amazing. They wash our house for us when we go away. They water my garden when we go away. They mowed our lawn last time, and we didn't even ask them to. They bring us veggies from their garden every summer. He came over and helped me get my car up and running. And they have done this since the day we moved in. They have been incredible at showing hospitality, and they don't even follow Jesus. There aren't many areas in our life where we are living with other people. So get to know them. Invite them in. And number three, feed someone. This one's my favorite. Jesus was always eating, and I don't know if you've noticed that, but he was either at someone's house for food, just coming from someone's house for food, or feeding 5,000 people. It is undeniable that food is the best way to make someone feel welcomed and at home and comfortable. So find somebody who needs a meal. Maybe you know of a neighbor who just lost their job. Invite them for dinner. Maybe you know a coworker who just lost someone. Invite them over for a meal. Maybe your kid made a new friend at school. Invite the family over for food. And I know that COVID adds a whole other part to this, but please, please, please don't let that be an excuse not to love those around you. If you don't feel comfortable having them inside your home, have them outside. Take a meal to their door. Hospitality does not have to happen inside of your home or inside of this church. It can happen anywhere. but we cannot just sit back and wait for people to come to us. That isn't the gospel. That isn't the Great Commission. It's not the way of Jesus. There's an entire community of people that we are a part of outside this building. We, the people, are the church. We are called to seek out the lost, to proactively seek to welcome the marginalized. Can you imagine what it would look like if we all practiced true biblical hospitality? If each of us actually followed the way of Jesus and loved the stranger. If this week, each person here took the time to invite a neighbor over for dinner, extended an invitation to another family from your kid's school. If you made a meal for a coworker just for the sake of it. I can only imagine the ripple effect that this could have in our community. If you invited your neighbor over once, you invite them over a second time, a third time, eventually they would invite you to their home, and you start to build a relationship where you can talk about your stories, about your struggles. You get a chance to share Jesus with them. They get saved and their lives are changed forever. And then they go and continue it with another person. That is how the kingdom of God is built. That is how people get to know the saving grace and unconditional love of Jesus. Can you imagine the lives changed? The hearts moved for the glory of God. It is so exciting to get to be a part of what Jesus is doing in our community. So I encourage you today, this week, I would love if everyone here found one way with you and your family to be hospitable to somebody in our community, to show love of a stranger, and see how God moves. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you for your example. We thank you that you loved us enough to come and die on the cross for us and welcome us back to you. Jesus, would we be a church and a people that would go out and seek out those who are lost and hurting? That we would seek to welcome them in, to care for them, to show true hospitality to them. And God, as we go out of this place today, would you fill us with your Spirit? Give us names of people to invite over, names of people to bring a meal to start that relationship with people in our communities. And Jesus, would you be glorified for it all. We love you and we thank you for what you are doing in this church and in this city. And Lord, we are excited for what you are going to do. We love you. In your name, amen.